I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad, and we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
And anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair, and
my knee hurts.
My armpit kind of hurts. Is that a rash? And I had Asian food, and that makes me feel kind of sick. I might be lactose intolerant.
Welcome to another episode of Definitely Dying, folks.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us. Madeline, you're newly back in Los Angeles. You took a little trip over the weekend, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Where'd you go?
I took a very L.A. weekend trip to Palm Springs.
That's a great time.
Yeah.
In the dead of summer.
In the dead of summer, which... Actually, I've talked in another intro about my elderly neighbor, but I also just want to say that she told when we told her we were going to Palm Springs, she was like, "Oh, cheapest time of the year to go."
Yeah, that's right.
"All right, you could cool it. Don't judge our vacation." But it is true; it's cheap because it's so hot you'll die.
It's so hot you die. Yeah, I've only been when it was so cold that you could freeze to death.
When
In like the pit, in like it's not so. It's not that it gets to a temperature that's that cold.
Yeah.
It gets super windy. In January, I would go. I've been to Palm Springs and Death Valley, and it gets down to like, I don't know, probably like 40 degrees, and like the gusts. This is a story for another day, but we went in Death Valley to like the top of a very high peak where there was a viewing vantage point that was very acclaimed. And my car broke down there, and like the wind was so strong, it felt like it was going to like blow us off this peak. Me and my dad.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Then what happened? What happened?
My dad died. No, we were fine.
Ben's alive. Lest you think we're a couple of sociopaths doing a podcast.
Did I not mention that's how my dad died? No, eventually, it was like a problem with like a part of the car that like, you know, it's not important, but, we were able to get the car to start and then, you know, got down the mountain and got back to Los Angeles and then had to fix the car. But it was pretty terrifying for about 20 minutes.
Oh, that makes me actually want to talk about something. And 'cause I'm curious whether you experience this as well, but I have what I think is mechanical hypochondria. Mm. Like I constantly think my car is broken when it's not. Like recently I've been like driving my car around and I think the struts are blowing out. Like, you know, like what makes your steering tight?
Yeah, 'cause
my steering's like a little wobbly and I can like move my steering wheel a lot and nothing will happen.
Eek.
But my mechanic... So I go to this like great mechanic, and like the guy who owns the shop told me not to fix it. Like his mechanic, his guy was like, "Lady, you got to fix your struts.
Yeah.
They're leaking all over the place."
Yeah.
And then his boss, who owns this mechanic shop, was like, "It's like $400. You're fine. Don't do it."
Right.
And I was like, "Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, fine." But now I can't tell whether I have like magnified the problem in my hypochondriac's brain.
Right.
Because like now in my mind, whenever I drive, my car is like a squiggly piece of pasta just like weaving all around the road. But I don't know if like, because I also notice if my mind's on something else, I don't notice it. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right, right. Yeah. No, I get things like that. I haven't had one specific I would say, but yeah, I definitely often feel that my brakes are about to give out.
Yeah. Which is crazy because you have a pretty new car.
Yeah.
It's not that wouldn't.
Yeah. Just anytime you have to push the brakes a little bit harder than usual, it's like, oh, well, you know, I mean, I don't typically go to that place of like somebody cut my brake lines because, you know, because I'm an international spy and that's how they take people like me out. But I do
You know, like every international spy, you drive a Subaru hatchback.
That's right, yeah.
And like any international spy, you know your enemies are right in the LA Fitness parking lot,
right
in Glendale, just trying to snap that Subaru.
Whoa, hey, don't be throwing it out there that I go to the Glendale LA Fitness. It's the worst one by far, and I'm not afraid to say it. No, but yeah, I definitely get that. I think that's pretty common, like to have some fears that are maybe slightly irrational about things that are sort of outside of our control. Mm-hmm. Like we're traveling at very fast speeds to lose control, you know, whether it's with your brakes not working or your steering wheel. I think it's probably common.
Yeah. It's kind of like a hypochondria of objects.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
So, have you guys experienced that? I'm very curious if this is a universal experience or if I'm just double crazy.
Yeah. So if you have had some sort of mechanical hypochondria, why don't you give us the hashtag hypochondria? What do you say, folks?
Hypochondria. Are you worried that your car is sick when it's not sick? Because Car Talk is no longer on the air.
That's right.
Flip us a hashtag.
That's right. If your car's having the sniffles, let us know.
What do they do on Car Talk? They're always like, they make up those pretend people you should write to.
Oh, right.
They're like, if you need a lawyer, call, bill me lately.
Should we start this show?
Please.
I feel like we've spiraled like nobody's business, and I love it.
Let's get started.
Let's get started.
Guys, we have such a good guest today. We have Paul Welsh. You've seen him on Broad City, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. You may have heard his podcast, Hard Nation, which is on Earwolf. It's really good. You can see him every Friday night at 11 performing with the Improv Team JV at UCB. And you could also see a little show called Escape from Alcatraz. It's sort of a hybrid sketch and improv show that that Paul does with me.
Yeah.
It's very funny. You should see it.
Welcome, Paul.
Thank you for having me.
Since I'm not on the show, I can objectively say it's hilarious, and
you should absolutely go see it. Yeah. That was very nice of you.
Won't give anything away other than that they'll give you masks and a Sharpie to take home. And if you're a large white male, you will scare your neighbors. No, it's true. I did scare my neighbors, but
I did
it on purpose.
Why did you have it on at your home?
I forgot that it was on the top of my head. I just put it on there.
Good thing a bird didn't see you.
Oh, that's
an
right.
An owl could have taken your whole head off.
That's true. That's true. The owl theory.
I see it. Oh, I love owl theory.
Owl theory, yeah.
I see people, when you watch people leave the show, I think people do forget that they have them. So, if you walk down Franklin after the show, up Bronson, you'll see, little white heads. It's great.
It really is great.
But owl theory is actually what I believe.
I 100% believe the owl theory. It's from the staircase is what it's called, right?
Oh, I watched half of that, and then I never finished it.
You gotta finish it.
One of the theories was that owls pecked her head because she had sunglasses on her head.
Yeah,
right?
And I believe it 100%.
And then it happened.
Not just pecked her head. That one tried to take her away.
Because, her head was, destroyed.
Yeah.
And it wasn't from that fireplace poker.
No.
No way.
It was definitely not falling downstairs.
No human being could, because it's not like you would, rip someone's head open if you were using that.
Yeah. No, for sure. There would be a puncture wound in your head from that part that would puncture a head, which it was designed to puncture a head.
I don't mean it was. An owl did that.
And that man's crazy, but.
Yeah. Alex, we haven't done our earnest beginning to the show, but I really wanted to tell my story about I told Madeline about the incident on that boardwalk in Michigan
This is right up Paul's alley. This is really made for Paul.
Just crazy.
You gotta tell it. Yeah.
So while I was in Michigan, I was following this news story about that it just opened very strangely, and so you were just you had to follow along with it. It was a girl, 13 years old, and her stepbrother, of 15, were walking along the boardwalk along the river on a boardwalk in an area outside Detroit called Mount Clemens. And so they're walking along, just minding their own business, when they pass a drunk man. And the drunk man doesn't say anything to them. He just – I apologize to everyone listening. No, I laugh at this
funny.
Too much. He doesn't stop. He doesn't say anything. He just walks over and picks the girl up and tosses her into the river. He just tosses her into the river. And so she's
fine.
She bumps her head. Yeah. She's fine, but she bumps her head. And so her brother helps to get her out of the water, and they alert the police. And so the police, you know, just go wandering down the boardwalk, and they just find this man just lying there on the boardwalk, just drunk, not bothering anyone, just lying there. And so they arrest him and charged him with, you know, with assault with intent to kill. And so it was this really big deal. And this guy was he may have had outstanding warrants, so people didn't put a lot of thought into, you know, the validity of this claim. Until the police started to investigate more, and there were so many holes in the story. And so it eventually came out, one, this man did not pick up the girl and throw her into the river. She was not 13. She was 9 years old. She was a 9-year-old girl.
I thought you were going to say 90.
Yeah, either way it works. She was 9 years old. She was just swimming in there when this drunk man went walking down the boardwalk, stumbled, fell into the water, and landed on top of her. And she got so angry because she lost an earring that she accused him of this crime,
tossing her in the river.
Yeah, so like I had this conversation with everyone I encountered about what, like, back during the period where I believed it to be a true thing, that just like as a guy, as like a large white male, I felt like I didn't have a perspective on this about like would that be the most traumatic moment of your life? Like, would you, like, someone coming along, picking you up and throwing you into the river,
pick up your whole body and toss you in a river?
Like, it's funny because she didn't get hurt.
Yeah.
But, like,
is she
ever going to pass anyone on a boardwalk and not feel like she's about to be tossed?
Oh, no, I'm about to get picked up. It just sounds so unlikely that, like, if you met her and you were on a date with her, she'd be like, just so you know, we can't walk down the boardwalk because I'll get picked up. What do you mean?
Yeah, right.
Like, my literally picked up.
Physically pick up my whole body, throw it in the air.
Well, probably the most shocking part is just a person doing that with, like, no provocation.
Right.
Or like,
that's what I'm saying.
I mean, one time someone drummed their hands across my chest in a grocery store with no, for no reason. A crazy homeless man just walked like little ants across my chest, and I was paralyzed.
I know exactly. One time, a homeless guy stroked my hair and called. true story. Homeless guy outside of a Chipotle stroked my hair and called me bae, and I will never forget it until I die. Which I considered that moment right there should have been when I died.
That was
terrifying.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's also an encouragingly high pop culture IQ for a person who probably doesn't have that much access to television or media.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I told you about the time a homeless lady chased me down my street and was like, run, bitch.
Oh my God.
You definitely take that advice when someone says run, bitch. You run.
I ran. Yeah. I did. I ran. It was in the middle of the day. I was just like going to like move my car around the corner of my house. And there was a woman who was like just like sitting on the lawn of an apartment building, like just, you know, like drinking an iced tea. And like I like made vague eye contact with her and smiled.
Yeah.
And she was like, run, bitch. And then I like kind of just like nodded because I thought maybe I misheard her. And then she stood up and was like, run, bitch, run, bitch, run, bitch. And then she ran at me and I ran away.
Yeah,
I just ran away and I left my car. Right. And I called someone to give me a ride to my car later.
Yeah. We should end every interview with that. Just a run, bitch. What do you mean?
Run, bitch. She like really meant it. And
I just ran right down that hill, right back to my house. Yeah. All right.
Let's
backtrack a little bit so we can take this from where we usually begin. So, Paul, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you fear death?
Six.
Six? I think six is a good number. What does six mean to you? Does that feel like you're sort of you're very aware of it and you would err on the side of anxiety, but not so much that it's overwhelming you?
Yeah, it means that I'm not afraid. Like, I guess it is. I do have a lot of anxiety about being like hurt or injured, but not so much about death.
What's the worst you've ever been hurt?
Worst I've ever been hurt is, I guess it's not hurt, but like the closest I've ever been to death is I've been in the ICU before.
Oh man, tell us.
It's insanely low stakes.
I think
you know this story. Yeah, I've had like weird like otolaryngological issues my whole life.
What
like
does that mean?
Throat issues, like throat and draw, I think.
Okay.
I had a very bad case of mono, like a rare form of it where my lymph nodes truly swelled up like footballs. And I know people say that, but like...
I've never heard anyone say that.
My neck was the size of this, but like it truly looked like I had balls underneath my skin. They were so inflamed.
That's insane.
My parents are very sort of like... You're fine. Like, go to practice.
Oh, yeah.
You're fine. For days, I was like, I'm having troubles. And they were like, ugh, get out of here. And finally, my throat swelled up to the point where I couldn't swallow an Advil.
Whoa.
Because it was passage?
Yeah.
It was so small that that's like a truly
not
like a
even
small
an Advil?
Advil couldn't, maybe it was a... Tylenol, who knows?
So you just sit there in your
it could, no, it could it couldn't oh. go like that part of my throat that would do the swelling was closed up enough that it couldn't go down.
So
at
you
all.
Would just you would
it
just
was just in my mouth
and then spit it back out. Wow.
Mm-hmm. And so finally they were like, okay, fine, we'll take you to the hospital. And then I went to the hospital and then I spent I think a week there, just a couple of days in the ICU, literally next to someone who was. Die.
Like, every time I've been there.
To die.
Yeah. I've never not been next to someone with AIDS at the hospital. It's like, always.
This person was dying of pancreatic cancer.
Yeah, that's
and
yeah.
I was like,
oh, yeah, like the time we were at the ER and that AIDS guy called you fat.
Yeah. Why is that the only part of the story that you remember?
It's too funny. Can't forget it.
That's okay. I remember none of the story except that they asked me if I wanted a CAT scan and suddenly I got better.
Oh, I've had a CAT scan. Yeah. So they had to essentially drain my neck.
Of like pus?
Mm-hmm.
For days.
So much that it was days?
Mm-hmm. And they put like a straw in my mouth because I couldn't swallow. So like if I was sleeping, my throat wasn't open enough for me to not aspirate on my own saliva. So I slept with an attendant and a straw. Like it was, I can still remember the sound, like constant of being like, because whatever little amount was there is just always taking it out so you don't choke on it.
Yeah.
Gosh.
So there's like a suction to the straw, like it's pulling out.
And it's like that dentist straw that like pulls out. Like,
and a lot of what it was solid.
Oh no!
And it collects. It collects in like a you know translucent. Or you can see it, what is going in there.
Like when they would pull, when they pull out like liposuction fat, like that, like chunks. Mm-hmm.
I kind of would want to see that.
Is there a picture
of that? No.
Is there a picture of the footballs?
Yeah, I think my parents do have a picture of it. But they were also just like, whatever, it's fine. They gave me a bunch of steroids. Yeah, and they were like, you got to go to prom next week. I'm like, okay.
They made you go to prom?
Well, I was going to prom, but I was like maybe a sophomore, and I was going to senior prom.
Oh, yeah.
And the girl who I was going with was like, oh, well, I really should go. I shouldn't. And like, I took a bunch of steroids while everyone else got wasted on the bus.
And it was actually like a perfectly fine time.
No, it's steroids to just reduce the inflammation.
Yeah.
So, but that prom for my school is in from Connecticut, you drive into the city and you take like a boat tour around Manhattan.
That's
and it
what
was,
your prom was?
Yeah. Is that good?
It's just different. Very different. Yeah.
Yeah, we were very close to the city, but yeah, we horrible, would not go to the city for
it's like
years.
You don't want to fucking go on a bus with your chemistry teacher and then get on a boat. You want to like get wasted in a cafeteria. You know what I mean? I don't need to see the chemistry teacher's husband. Thank you.
No.
But yeah, that was probably the close. Like I don't remember what they said, but they were like, "Yeah, it's a good you came in when you did."
Yeah.
Like, who knows how much longer you could breathe? I guess means I would have died.
Yeah. That's nuts.
Yeah, it was scary.
That's crazy. But you're, would you categorize yourself as a hypochondriac?
I do. I overestimate what things are all the time.
Like, how many times did you go to the doctor in the past, like, year?
A lot.
Yeah. Was anything ever wrong with you?
No. But I went to several doctors about one, I was having an issue with my back, and I'm going back to another set of doctors about it because I don't believe that they're right. Yeah. They told me a bunch of times, they were like, it's just stress. Like, it's just like one doctor, I was like, I can't feel my fingertips. And he was like, just breathe into a bag. And I was like, you've got to go.
Wait, like you were just hyperventilating? Like that kind of thing?
He was like, that is some sort of like paresthesia from stress and anxiety. Are you an anxiety-ridden person? And I was like, yes. Yeah. And he was like, oh, you should just breathe into a bag.
Did you try it?
No. Yeah. I will never breathe into a bag for that man.
You could try it.
I'll never do it.
If I'm breathing into a bag, there better be a can of gasoline in there. Am I right? Where are my huffers at?
Oh. Everybody, if you're a huffer, please tweet at us. Yeah. Just hashtag where my huffers at.
Where my huffers at. So I went to that doctor, and then I went to a bunch of other doctors. And every time I would like tell my friends about it, they'd be like, oh, really? Another doctor told you you don't have like a life-threatening disease? Yeah, right. This is just normal? certain things I overestimate. But it's also because both of my parents will truly die before they ever go to a doctor.
Mm. Right, yeah.
Like my mom literally had a thing growing on her shoulder.
What?
She had like some fucking thing on her shoulder and she was like,
she wouldn't go to the doctor?
It's fine.
And my brothers and I were like, I guess it's fine. And she says it's fine. And then she showed it to us and we were like, you'll die. That's insane.
How big was it? Like the size of like a golf ball or something?
I mean, I was like, was a football?
My first thought was it was the size of a thumb.
Shoulder thumb.
But they will both be like, doctor doesn't know anything.
Yeah.
Whereas like I guess I just said the same thing, but I'll go to the doctor just to make sure.
Yeah.
And also the reason is because the time that I did go to the hospital and was in the ICU, the first doctor that I went to was not a real doctor. He was a physician's assistant.
Oh.
And he was like, just take some NyQuil.
Right.
And then like truly 5 days later, I was on death's door because of his advice.
Yeah. That happens to me constantly.
My level of trust is very low, but I don't necessarily distrust that there isn't someone out there who has the right answer.
Yes. Yeah.
Like I had another doctor, had a thing happen to me when I was in my mid-20s where I went blind.
You went blind in your mid-20s?
I went blind in one eye for like a month.
Whoa.
And
you're not a hypochondriac. Your parents just don't care about you.
You're really falling apart completely all the time.
Your mom has a thumb ring on her shoulder and she's going to practice.
She got it removed. She's fine. But I had this weird thing with my eye and every doctor was like, who could know? And then finally one doctor, I specifically went to a doctor where I was like, this doctor seems smart and like young and would like have a good perspective and like was like recommended and stuff. And she was like, who could know? This is a thing that happens to a lot of young men who are tall.
Wait.
And I was
really?
Like, nope.
She was like, what are some fast observations I can make about you and use them as an explanation?
It was wild. I was like, no, I don't think so because I know plenty of other men my age who are never going blind in one eye.
Who have never gone blind.
But it did, I mean, they weren't wrong. It did just get better.
Yeah.
Why do you
That's Tall Eye.
That's Tall Eye for you. Yep. I wore a patch around New York City for
you.
a month or 6 weeks.
Herald team with a patch, right?
I wasn't wearing a patch when I got on the team, but in that cycle, I was wearing a patch.
That's Tall Eye.
And it was horrible. Hoping. And I was also working at a company that had, how do you call it, webcam on every computer. So when I started, we'd be talking to people in like an office in Hong Kong, and they'd be like, sir, what's going on with your eye? Because you would just pick up and they would see a person they've never seen before who's supposed to be doing like a relatively normal function. Yeah. And they'd be like, why does he only have one eye?
You have an eye patch.
And I had a CAT scan of my brain in my office.
I'd like to point out, because this is a health and hypochondria podcast, that Paul saying the thing about being that eye condition happening to tall people made me laugh so hard that I pulled an abdominal muscle and I had to stand up. I had to stand up for a minute and massage it out.
I was wondering what you were doing.
It hurt me.
You just stood
really
up
hard.
And then rubbed your stomach. Are you okay? You look uncomfortable.
Just me hungy. me a little hungy. No, yeah, it really like it made me laugh so hard that I pulled a muscle.
Oh no!
So congratulations.
Oh, well. Thank you so much.
That was a first.
Oh great.
Do you think it's like, I feel like a lot of the things that are wrong with you could be anxiety related.
Yes.
Is that, do you agree?
Yes.
Yeah.
Almost all of them, I've been told, and I don't know if it's true, are related to that.
Yeah. Do you have a lot of anxiety?
I do.
Can you, like, what, like, do you want, can you think of an example of like a time that your anxiety has like paralyzed you or it's like manifested you?
Are you asking me about the time that I almost left my car in traffic?
That's exactly what I'm asking about.
Well, there's my other abdominal muscle.
Have you had any times when you've left your car in traffic because you were having a panic attack?
We like to start every interview the same way. Paul, you ever had an incident in traffic that caused you to flee your automobile?
General question.
Is that what you were looking for?
Yes,
before?
Yes.
I had, I guess last year, is it this?
Yeah, I think so. I think last summer.
It wasn't that long ago. Yeah. Maybe last fall, I had a really bad panic attack. Maybe like the first meaningfully notable one that I've ever had. I now can think back to when I lived in New York and think like of times when I was definitely having a panic attack and just didn't know what it was. But this particular time, I was driving and I like, there were a million factors involved in why I think this happened, partially related to like over scheduling, partially related to probably hadn't eaten since the morning.
Yeah.
I think you also, I only remember this because I feel like I think you'd had a cold brew.
Yes.
Which I'm like not, like, the only reason I remember that is because I feel like 90% of the panic attack stories I have heard in the past 2 years have included someone drinking cold brew coffee.
Yes.
Like, I truly think it should be, like, recalled in some way because
so
I've never talked to someone who hasn't had some sort of panic-induced
like, it was
condition
too much
due
caffeine.
To cold brew.
And so much so that the last time that I brought that same cold brew at the Inner Sanctum, you truly screamed, don't do it.
And then that's such an adult thing to scream.
Yeah, I know.
And then I took one sip, and I was like, I gotta throw this out.
Yeah.
Don't do it!
What are you trying to do?
Yeah, yeah.
You want to be able to drive home, or you want to leave your car right in the teacher's lot?
It was horrible. Even that one sip, I was like, I can't do it. What? And I don't know how much of that is now just like a trigger or whatever.
Sure.
But so I was driving, I like drove home, I had that cold brew on the way home, and was driving back to the theater on Franklin for a Herald matinee for the Herald team that I was coaching. Mm. And that, you know, that space on Franklin between the 101 and where the theater is, is like, there's like no way out.
Mm. Yes.
It's so many lanes of traffic.
Right. And it's always traffic.
Yes. Yeah.
And so when I turned onto Franklin off of maybe Highland, I think, so I took it all the way up. So I'd been in it for a minute and it was really hot.
Ugh.
And I started to like feel kind of weird. So I called one of my friends from college and I was like, hey, I don't know what's going on, but I just need to have someone on the phone right now because I'm kind of freaking out. And my friend was like, great. You know, it's like in a different time zone.
Yeah,
so they're like, cool, chat. And I was like, I think this is bad. I'm going to need to get out of my car. I think maybe I just didn't eat. And they were like, great, you should eat, you should eat. And I was like, well, there's no real option. I have to get to this. I have to get to this Harold matinee. Who will give them notes?
There are so many stories. I just like, not to sidetrack you too much, but like we interviewed Pam like last week, and she was like talking about how she was like diagnosed with cancer, and she was like talking to Anthony King about how she was so sorry if she couldn't go to Harold practice. Like so, all of us are so, so broken sick. In a very specific way.
And so I was driving, and I finally got to that, like, that gas station that's across from the 101. And it had just been going on for maybe, let's say, no, it wasn't. I took Hollywood past, like, Cherokee and all those fucking streets that are also really trafficy. Yeah. And so the whole time I'm like, where can I turn off? Where can I turn off? And I couldn't. So it'd probably been going on like 10, 15 minutes, if I'm being realistic. And then I got to before that gas station, and I was like, I gotta get a banana. And I was like, well, this light is red. I truly don't know if I'll make it through this light, because you can't really change lanes because there's no space, and I was in the middle lane. Yeah,
and what was your body feeling? Like, just like, well, how are you, like can you explain
hyper,
how you were feeling?
Like a hyperventilating kind of type of feeling, but also sweaty and kind of like a lightness that I don't normally feel, which just kind of like tingly.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is not good. I feel like I'm going down.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like if I was pounding water and it was just not doing anything. And I was just fucking freaking out. And I was like, well, the light was red. And I was like, well, I'm going to fucking leave my car right here. And I put it in a park and I went to get out of it. And then the light turned and I like truly forced my car into the other lane so that I could go and like just at least be off of that road.
Yeah. Yeah.
But very stupidly still got back on that road to go give them notes.
No.
And I'm kind of happy because they came out to Ants Marching, which I think is very funny. So I'm glad I didn't miss that. Yeah. And I always appreciate that they did that.
It was very worth it.
I truly almost
died
for it.
Yeah, really.
But I really thought in that moment, I was like, okay, this is it. This is like, I will pass out in the behind the wheel of this car and something horribly traumatic will happen.
Yeah.
So did that's also happened to my dad.
Oh, really?
Really?
Oh, wow.
He's left his... elaborate.
He has something called vasovagal response. Him and one of my brothers has it, which like they just pass out. I do not have
what? It. They just like how often? Like once a year?
I don't know. It's like not so interesting to me. I don't ask about it.
And it probably any time that you would think to ask about it, they've just fallen asleep.
They just fall right down. But yeah, it's
wow.
They. Well, my brother has it, and like we'll describe, like he will need to like just sit in a bathroom at work, and just kind of like he can't because he's afraid if he's in a meeting or something that he'll pass out. Class.
That's I mean that's completely debilitating. Like that's not like that if that. So he, wait. Oh, wait, let's back
up. Well, Paul doesn't know. He's never asked a single thing about it.
You're right. Yeah. No.
Well,
wait. Can we, I'm going to ask this question. You may not have an answer to it.
His brother and his dad are dropping dead all around the town. He's never asked one time.
Where does your brother work that there's a bathtub?
No, not a bathtub. The bathroom. Like he'll go and like sit on a closed lid toilet.
I thought you said he had to go sit in a bathtub and wait for the...
He's a Victorian prince. Did I not mention that? He doesn't work. He's just a prince.
I said that I wasn't going to bring this up because it terrifies me. But is this your same brother that was hit in the head with a golf club?
A different one.
Okay. So it was the other one. So we can't blame it on the golf club.
This brother also once passed out in my car on the way to school.
Did you leave him there?
No, I was just like, okay, call mom.
And he stayed passed out?
He had like a little seizure.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
It was very funny.
Oh, no.
Because there's like nothing wrong with it. That is part of, I think, that response that he has.
Yeah.
Like, and so he's never had another one.
Have you ever done anything to, like, what do you do to manage your anxiety?
Nothing.
You do anything to perpetuate it?
Yeah.
Have you ever gone to therapy?
No.
Do you ever want to?
Sure. I would. Yeah.
Why haven't you?
I mean, That's a lot.
I mean, how much of it, like, how much of it do you think is an extension of your parents telling you to kind of walk it off?
I think a lot. Like, there's almost nothing that I wouldn't be like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, last year, I forget what I was doing. I had some sort of issue, and I was like, well, I think I could probably still go to the gym.
Yeah, yeah.
And then get there and be like, well, I'll die here.
Yeah.
Also, because someone did die at my gym one time.
What?
While you were there?
No.
Okay.
But when I like first moved here and I Googled like, which one should I go to? Whatever. And then I saw on Yelp that.
Someone yelped about it? Someone died at your gym and people were like, I don't know. Someone died here.
It's
three
like
stars.
A small aside that's buried in the Yelp. That's buried in the Yelp comments. That just says, a tile fell on. A tile fell on a lady. It's not funny because she did pass away. But, I mean,
it's not
kind of
funny.
Funny.
A tile
like she
fell
was in
from
the bathroom
the ceiling
and a tile,
on her?
Yeah. A tile fell right on her.
I don't know why it makes me feel so much better that it happened in the bathroom. Like, if I saw someone lifting weights.
It's just a freak accident.
And yeah, like,
it's just
like
it's not like a mismanaged. No. It's a, like not a reflection on the facility. Yeah. It's just like, yeah, sometimes a little bit of the ceiling will fall, kill you right away.
Yeah. It feels like it doesn't happen frequently, but an ambulance will show up at the gym sometimes just because they have to be so precautionary.
Oh,
and
I got taken out of the gym.
It's terrifying. Really?
Once in an ambulance, yeah.
Oh, tell us more. Incidentally, we've spent more time laughing at people's pain in this episode.
I know.
This
is horrible. I know.
No, it's good.
I passed out in.
Like
the
you just
gym.
Dropped. Like you didn't. Mm-hmm. Did you not eat enough?
Mm-hmm. Who knows? Well, they told me that it was something with the interaction between the potassium and the phosphate in my bloodstream. So, like, not enough potassium for the phosphate to bind to. And so that imbalance can cause you to pass out. And so what had happened was I got very drunk. And then in the morning, I would, like, get up and be like, I'm fine.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's like, well, maybe you're still drunk. You know, like, now in retrospect, I'm like, oh, okay. But at the time, I was like, great, I'm going to go do myself like a little Saturday morning triathlon.
Just a little Saturday morning triathlon.
But meaning, like, I would run a couple of miles, I would swim a couple of miles, and then I would bike a couple of miles. So I was like,
all
right.
Yeah, that's a triathlon.
So, but not like a proper one. Like,
I mean,
like
you didn't sign up for a triathlon and
wasn't
go
like
and
like. Me and a bunch of 50-year-old dudes with flags on our shirts. But at the point of saying, I'm not like, I got wasted. But the point of saying that is I was dehydrated and it was a very hot day in Manhattan. And I went to Central Park for the like first leg of it. And I was like, okay, I'll run around the park. So I ran a couple miles. I went inside. I got in the pool. I swam. I got out of the pool to change, to put on my clothes, to go biking. And I passed out.
You just dropped.
Oh, no.
And I remember. So I got taken out of that gym in a stretcher.
Why is that funny? I don't know.
That's terrible.
It was.
Were you aware? Like you woke up.
I was only aware enough. The only thing that I remember is one of the like young like EMT girls or whatever was like, I think he's stroking out.
Oh, no.
Over and over again on my way to St. Vincent's or whatever one is on the Upper West Side. And I was like, great, maybe I'm dying.
No, they shouldn't be allowed to say that.
But I think they thought I was
like awake.
I think they thought I was unconscious.
Right, right. But it's just like a scary thing to hear. It'd be like, he's tweaking. He's tweaking.
Yeah.
It was crazy. It was so
insane.
Scary. And then they took me to the hospital and I had to stay overnight. And I missed a show or something. And so I had a million text messages. Where are you? And I just couldn't respond because I was like, how do I explain this? It's so stupid and it's my fault. And
maybe
I like did a dumb thing that I shouldn't have done. Like, but I don't know. I was like 23.
Yeah.
I was like, who's going to stop me?
Right. And we don't usually like suffer for our mistakes at 23. Like then like 33 hits or whatever. And then suddenly like you can't, you know, you don't recover at all. But
like I bounce right back after a cleaning my bathtub with bleach.
Yeah, Madeline bleached herself once.
Yeah.
But it was very scary. I mean, That was another one where I was like, well, okay, maybe this is it.
What did you think you were going to die?
Yeah, because in the ambulance on the way there, I mean, how am I supposed to know that there are medical professionals? I don't know anything. Yeah. I only know that I'm in their care. And so if they're saying he's stroking out, which first of all, too casual, guys.
Yeah, way chill. That's way
far
chill.
Too casual.
Let me get some proper approach. It just felt like maybe they're right. I don't know.
What did you think?
I was very scared that I would be brain dead.
Oh, that you would like live and
that,
just
like
be a
I
vegetable?
Was in one of those mm-hmm. fucking see inside situations where I could like hear everything that was going on, but just be like,
that's the worst. Yeah.
And like, have to like tell everybody your letters with the way you move mm-hmm. your eyes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's what I was afraid of.
Yeah,
I think that's a huge fear of mine. Like that, the only thing I would do for the rest of my days is like drool. Yeah. Like that's so terrifying. I don't mean that. Comically, that seems horrifying. No.
Yeah.
I was at a party last year and people were talking about, one of those, would you rather this or that? Like, kind of thing. And one of the questions was like, would you rather, have your, body be destroyed and your mind be fine, or your mind be destroyed and your body be fine? And of course, all the stupidest people were like, I would never want to lose my body.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, yes, you would like to live in a human prison.
Yeah. Right.
That's what you would prefer. You would rather be good looking than live like a completely slavish existence to the flesh that you're ensconced in.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. No, you wouldn't.
So I wanted to ask you, just since we've talked about it before, can you explain everybody the concept of your 11s?
It's not mine. It's a Mel Brooks movie. And I think of it all the time when I see 11s.
So, first of all,
you got to see Life Stinks. It's very funny. Mel Brooks, and have you seen it?
I don't think I have.
Maybe it's not very funny. So it's Jeffrey Tambor and Mel Brooks are two like tycoon style businessmen, and one of them wants to take over this I think it's in LA. One of them wants to take over this downtown part of LA, and you could never make this movie now. It's so fucked up. So Jeffrey Tambor bets Mel Brooks that if he could live in like the homeless section for 30 days, then he could have that. Right?
Wasn't every movie about that from 1975 to 85?
Portrayed a vast misunderstanding of what it's like to be poor.
And an opportunity to trade spaces for a long time. Yeah.
But part of it is also, it's very good because he has the homeless people aren't a lot of time the butt of the jokes. I mean, they are because who knows when the movie's made, but he has a love affair with this homeless woman and it's not the joke. Well, there is one joke. The first time they have sex, she has so many, she's wearing so many rags.
It feels like you wrote this movie.
It's maybe why I am the way I am. Yeah.
She has so many. It was like, dream big. Make the movie that you would most want to make, Paul. You'd be like, a guy has sex with a homeless lady, but she has too many rags.
Someone pisses on a box and the letters on that box get stuck to another dude's forehead. Oh, yeah. Check, please. Oh, the 11s. So one of the dudes explains, when they're in line for soup, that this guy, he's like, oh, man, his 11s are up. And it's you're the two, cords in your neck. You know, if you see, a really skinny person and they have, 11s, and you also have them in your wrists. So the movie posited that if your 11s are up, that's how the other homeless people knew that you had to, say goodbye to that person because they were going to die.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So you got to watch for 11s.
You got to watch for your 11s.
I don't think it's true, but I see 11s all the time.
Yeah. And you just walk up to strangers and
I'm
tell
goodbye.
Them.
I just say my goodbye.
You're stroking out.
But I also have a weird issue with my wrists.
Okay.
That I can't. My left wrist was burned by me when I was a kid on a stove. A fat kid, too eager to get my dinner. And I burned it on a soup pot. And it's there's still a scar, and if I touch there, it's like a weird. I'm sure it's psychological also, but like it's a weird. I can't.
Yeah.
Like someone will grab my wrist in a scene.
You'll have like a sense memory thing.
Yeah. Not freak out, but like it'll take me.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll immediately like clench it. But this one is fine. Like my right one is fine.
Those sense memory things or whatever, I think that they're often scariest when they're a little bit hazy. But just like anytime like anytime somebody mentions something where I was seriously injured or I nearly died. I would say I have the physical feeling of fear all over again.
Yeah.
Like that rush of anxiety.
Huh. Well,
the weird thing about all of these things are like, I'm healthy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you're really
like,
healthy.
I take good care of myself. I never really get sick.
Yeah.
But still have a lot of anxiety about all that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I'm the same way. Like, I'm healthy also and like, rarely get sick. And but I'm always like, what could be wrong?
I don't know.
I guess maybe that's part of it is that we do everything in our power and yet we don't have control over these things. Yeah. And that,
I think that's it. I think it's also a control thing because you, in so many other aspects of your life, you can be like, well, if I assert this, you know, if I do this or if I like assert myself in this area, these will be the benefits. And with your health, it's like, well, you could take great care of yourself. Yeah. Like,
and a tile could fall on you.
Exactly.
Right. Oh, totally.
You could be right pissing at the gym. And then, but like my grandpa didn't take care of himself even a little bit. And he was so old when he died.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had like lung cancer, liver cancer, like everything you can do. And he just ate meatballs and, like, didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
And then I look at other people who are so healthy, and, like, my dad's dad, and I think this is why my dad doesn't like doctors, died of a bad blood transfusion.
Oh,
And so I think that level of trust is, like, so violated because of that.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, it just seems so, like, completely...
Yeah.
I'm trying to avoid using the word random, but...
No, it does.
Arbitrary.
Yeah.
I think it's called, I'm going to say this thing and then I'll just throw it out there that I might be wrong about what it's called. I think it's called the Lamarckian complex or something. It has something to do with like with Lamarck.
Evolutionary.
And that part of our individual evolution is that first moment when we realize that our parents aren't superheroes, that they're not gods, that they could fail us in the same way that anyone else could fail us.
Yeah.
And I feel like attributing that same thing to doctors, you know, that it's not just the god complex that we talk about them having. It's that we believe that they have this magical ability to fix us.
Right.
And when people go to the hospital, old people, they seem to die of infections like all the time.
There. They can't even get their shit together enough to like make sure everybody washes their hands enough.
No.
I've become more wary of like doctors and hospitals just
but
because
just
you
everyone
hear,
is doing their best. You know what I mean? Like, like to not trust a doctor is like,
right.
There are bad everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you can't
you
trust
think, like,
anyone.
Every person who's a doctor is good and smart?
Yeah.
No.
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 But I do think that at least for like in my mind our parents' generation was taught to believe that. Taught to believe that like the sort of like that there are certain institutions that have some sanctity towards them, legal institutions, medical institutions, like municipal institutions. Whereas for our generation, I feel like, well, the whole thing is not to be respected in that sort of reverential way.
100%. I think being born after Watergate changes people. That like the office of the president is suddenly corrupted, and now government means nothing to you in the sense like that, you know, there's an authority that they have, but you don't necessarily trust them.
Like nobody's infallible.
Because I don't remember, I don't know if you guys do, but like I don't remember growing up with unassailable... Like with unassailable ideas of the perfection of anyone.
No.
No.
And not in like a cynical way where I was like, no, I don't think so.
No, I feel like we grew up in the like nobody's perfect generation.
Perfect. Yeah.
Like, it was like all about making, like, I feel like.
Just do your best.
Yeah. It was like everybody makes mistakes. Oh. It's okay. Yeah.
We're the ribbon for participation generation.
Yeah, we really are. I feel like that kind of pervades everything.
It is.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I also think there's something about not having, like, experienced something that makes it, like, more anxiety-inducing. Because I feel like I tend to have a lot of anxiety, but also if a bad thing actually happens, I'm, like, very calm and good in an actual crisis. Like, you want me on your side if a true emergency happens.
Right.
And it's just like the idea of like, you know, of being preventative and like just like all the like
it's
the
control.
Wide world of possibility. Yeah.
It's control.
Yeah,
you want control over your own future. And this is the one area that is so complex that you couldn't possibly have control no matter how hard you tried. Yeah. And that's so alienating.
Definitely.
Because your body is not within your control.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah,
which
and
is
nothing
why,
really is because even the areas where we think we have control, that's kind of an illusion.
Right.
Also.
We're just
you
safe.
Have a like a reasonable level of like, you know, everyday control, but like anything can be taken away from you.
But I'll see a person like when I start thinking about control, like I'll see a person who's, what am I trying to say? Like a person who rides their bike with no shirt on.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you doing?
Right.
You'll die.
Yeah.
You get one bump in the wrong direction, your entire spinal cord is exposed.
You're done. Also,
no one could ever need color that bad.
No.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't do that.
Right.
Like, so to me, there's just some things where I'm like, you're taking such a big risk.
Yeah.
And like,
that's
is it
so
worth
weird
it?
That I'm like,
no.
The riskiest thing you could do is ride your bike. But
well,
I kind
it
of,
is
that's
risky
the one thing
it's
of,
stupid. It's like stupid, so easy to wear a shirt. It's like, I feel like I believe in like, sometimes like you got to take a risk because it's like important, but like, that's such a lazy way to die is just to not put a shirt on.
I don't understand shirtless living.
There's no control. There's only not in danger, but then there's creating for yourself the potential for danger. That's so that's insane to me. It's like that's the opposite of the control. Yeah. You need a Madeline around. You need somebody that'll remind you that a crackhead AIDS patient called you fat at a hospital.
I'm sorry, I always bring it up.
I like to jokingly get upset about it.
It's such a funny story.
It is a funny story.
Because he was so crazy, he wouldn't stop talking about how he lost his slipper and someone chased him over a fence.
She
jumped a fence.
She gave a crackhead AIDS man who accosted her in a parking lot $20. preparing for, but I had like seen her in the morning and then when I saw her in the afternoon, she came back, she was like, I went to Studio City to do whatever, I forget what it was, and she was like, and I got chased by a guy who kept telling me he had AIDS, so I went to the ATM and I got $20 for him, and because I didn't have any cash.
She was probably paying him to call me fat in a hospital.
He knocked on my window and I rolled it down and he said, hello, I have full blown AIDS.
Oh, that's what this is about.
And then
can we call this episode Hello, I Have Full Blown AIDS? No, we can't. I don't think we can.
We can't.
Alexa
can.
Just shook her head no at me.
I mean,
wait, Paul thinks he has AIDS.
This episode has to be called Paul Welsh : Hello, I Have Full Blown AIDS.
Oh my God.
Oh, do you guys want to play a game?
Yeah, let's play the game.
do you have something to say about Full Blown AIDS?
No. I am skittish about blood diseases.
Yes,
you should be.
Yeah,
I don't like it. No. There's someone in my high school who had blood cancer.
Whoa, so it's just spreading throughout him constantly?
I think so.
Eek.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
That's really
I didn't
sad.
Care for it.
Yeah.
You didn't care for blood cancer.
No.
Yeah, no, I know that that's like, because I think I've told the story about how I avoided it. As a child, I avoided going to a kid's birthday party because he had blown his fingers off with fireworks. Oh. Too terrifying to me. That's not blood cancer.
No.
There was a kid in my elementary school whose his mom lit a bunch of firecrackers, and this is not in urban legend, it really happened because I seen this lady in shorts. She lit a bunch of firecrackers and they went up her they went up her skirt and she got a big old scar on one leg.
Because a bunch of firecrackers flew up her skirt.
It's like, I don't know what they were. I just remember people shut off a lot of M80s and Roman candles. No. I don't know. Those are too big to go up a lady's skirt, I think. But she made a mistake with a firecracker and now she has a big scar on her leg.
Not an urban legend. Paul's seen this lady in shorts.
Her name is Mrs. I'll say the name.
Do it.
No, we just called her Mrs. Scar. But.
No!
Yeah.
What a super villain name.
She was a mom of a kid in my grade.
All right, let's play the game.
Okay, let's play the game. This game is called...
We had a few variations on the name.
Yeah, we had a couple variations on the name. Maybe Two Pool for School.
Yeah.
It's just a quiz. You guys are going to play against each other.
About a pool?
About the different ways you can get sick from swimming in a swimming pool. Because it's summer.
Yeah.
I was a lifeguard, so I should.
Oh, you should know.
I lose most games. Yeah. We also we also threw out the alt title Swimming Paul.
Oh yeah, Swimming Paul. Yeah, two Paul for school.
Right.
You can pick whichever name you like the most, and that's how you can
remember this moment in my life. Great.
So as a lifeguard, are you familiar with RWIs?
No.
Recreational water illnesses.
Oh. No, that wasn't a vernacular that we were taught.
Well, it's...
That's Karen Byerly's fault.
Yeah.
You're really naming a lot of names. Karen Byerly, Mrs. Scar.
Well, Karen Byerly, she's just a teacher. She could say her name. I didn't say anything bad about it. She didn't teach me RWI, but she taught me how to backboard, do a deep sea rescue.
So RWIs are just different diseases that you can catch by being in a pool, from diarrhea to hot tub rash. It qualifies as an RWI. There's a whole part of the CDC's website about RWIs.
What's a hot tub rash?
It's just a rash you get from sitting in the hot tub too long. It's not contagious.
I know you're about to play a game.
No,
but
do you have a story about a hot tub rash?
My one little brother got sucked up into a hot tub. Not like the whole thing. It wasn't
your
funny.
Feels
it
like
wasn't
some,
funny.
Like Roald Dahl, macabre story of Edward Gorey like book. 19 brothers, and of them have been like...
Actually, the same one that got hit by a golf club. Yeah. We were in a hot tub at my parents' best friend's house, and they had a pool and a hot tub in a big backyard. So all the adults were in a different part of the backyard, and he was a little baby. So we were all kids, so maybe between 10 and... 9 and 13, let's say.
Yeah.
And so we were like, well, he can come in the hot tub with us. And then we weren't paying. And then we weren't paying attention to him. And the next thing you look over, and he got sucked up right into, you know that part that the door flaps down sucks water out? Well, if you put a person in it, it just gives it a big hickey.
Oh,
like a back hickey. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was like, I wish you could have seen it. He was like, it was very scary at the time. But he was truly, I don't know how you would describe it. If you were on a Velcro wall.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he was because he couldn't move.
Yeah.
So then the parents all came screaming over. And then they had to turn off the hot tub that they could get him out. And because he was so little, they were like, oh, no, he maybe has organ damage.
But he's fine.
He's fine.
Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah, he's good. He's in the Navy. He's at his Naval Reserve right now.
Is he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great.
So he's used to turmoil at sea.
He is. He loves it. Put him on a ship.
Well, that was kind of an RWI.
Yeah.
It was a big RWI. I mean, it was very scary. But got sucked right in.
Very scary. Yep. My first question is, which of the following bacterium can survive in chlorine?
Okay.
A, E. coli, mm-mm. B, crypto, C, hepatitis A, or D, Giardia?
I'm going to say hep.
You think hepatitis A?
I'm going to go C, hep A.
Okay. What about you,
I
Paul?
Am going to agree only because I think you can basically get hepatitis everywhere.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Because I don't know any of the differences between them.
I used to have a babysitter.
If she had hepatitis, I would fire her immediately. Yeah.
She was a very old lady.
Which is the sex one? She had that one?
I don't know. No, I think she had C. Yeah, but I just remember.
Yeah, I don't know what they are.
My little brother used to call her. Bobo Two Hat, because she would wear two hats for no reason, and she always wore gloves.
Was her
in
name
the
Bubba?
Summer. No, her name was Eileen or something.
Honestly, that's the kind of comedy that I need all the time. So maybe your brother should be a comic, because if he's coming up with Bobo Two Hat at a very early age, the growth of that brain can only bring good things.
Yeah.
Is this Brian or Evan?
I think it was Brian, but okay. I will say my two little brothers, maybe the two funniest people I've ever met in my life. I mean that sincerely and fully till the day I die. So Bobo Two Hat.
I want Bobo Two Hat on my tombstone. Yeah,
I think that's the name of my new Herald team.
Bobo Two Hat.
Name the whole fucking place Bobo Two Hat.
Yeah.
I just go right to class at Bobo Two Hat.
This has been a Bobo Two Hat production.
I mean, honestly, it sounds like a cool story behind it.
Yeah.
Bobo Two Hat. She would wear gloves, and even when it was hot out, because she would be like, I have a rash on my hands.
Was it from Hep C?
And then independently, she was like, I can't come in today. I have to go to the doctor for my hepatitis C.
No.
And I think my parents were like really hard up. Like, my grandfather was in the hospital, so they were like really hard up for like a for a sitter. And
so did we get it right?
Yeah, what is it?
No. Hep A. Which one? Is killed by chlorine. It's crypto. Do you guys know about crypto?
No.
Crypto is a new
street
different
drug.
Like yeah, it's a new like diarrhea bug you can get. And then, like, I think there was a big rash of it in Milwaukee in the past. I pointed at you because it's like, you're not from Milwaukee.
I have diarrhea in the Midwest all the time.
I had diarrhea recently when I got food poisoning.
Oh yeah.
When I ate that some guacamole that I guess was bad in my fridge. And do you know how they make you do stool samples?
No. But I take it you do.
This is important for people to know. If you have to do stool samples, they don't let you do it at the doctor.
Oh.
They give you three little bottles to take home
mm-hmm.
and something that looks like a witch's hat. And then you shit in the witch's hat. And then you scoop it out and put it in those bottles and then take it back to the doctor.
You shit in a hat.
Because they won't let you do it there because it's like not safe or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
Which seems insane to me. Just get a fucking sample room.
Yeah, exactly. Have a poop room.
And, go to the bathroom and do it there.
Well, I think you can end up contaminating.
They won't let you do their bathroom.
You can't poop anywhere that you do anything else because the fecal matter contaminates every area that, in the same way that there's fecal matter in water.
But they want
you
to contaminate your house.
They make you do it at home. And then, because the doctor was like, you'll need some of these and gave me like a few popsicle sticks. And I was like, I don't need those.
Ugh.
And he's like, yes, you will. To scoop the poop out into these bottles.
That's what they wanted you to scoop with was popsicle sticks?
They couldn't give you like a spoon?
Well, they were like tongue depressors or whatever.
Yeah. No, still.
I don't want a spoon.
Why?
Really?
I guess maybe I do.
Yeah, you want to rethink
but
this.
I would hate it. If a doctor gave me a tongue depressor, I'd be like, okay, fine. But if a doctor came in and was like, here's a spoon, I'd be like, show me your credentials immediately.
I've never been asked to shit in a hat and been more upset about it.
It was wild. It just surprised me. I didn't know that. That's what
I didn't. Yeah. I had heard stories of people having to like mail in their poop samples before.
Yeah. No, I brought it right back in a bag. Gave it right to the girl at the front desk. I was like, you know what this is. And she laughed and laughed. I guess she thought it was funny. She had a good attitude.
Yeah.
Well, crypto can give you diarrhea. Yeah. It can survive in chlorine for up to 10 days. So be careful. Don't drink any pool water.
They do have that thing outside, that sign at the swimming pools. That if you had
diarrhea,
you can't swim for 14
active
days.
Active diarrhea in the last two
active
weeks.
Active diarrhea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it should
good
be followed.
Yeah,
I
it's
guess.
A good rule. Yeah.
So how many pools experience health code violations? 1 in 60, 1 in 800, 1 in 8, or 1 in a million?
One in, I think either 8 or 60.
You have to pick one.
Okay.
I'm going to say 8.
I'll say 800.
One in 8.
Oh.
One in 8.
I was right.
Good work.
You're
good work.
Right. Which, I mean, that makes sense. Also, you working at a pool, I feel like I trust your correctness.
People really
on that.
Do whatever they want.
Yeah.
This is a good question, though. I found this in an article. How much poop does the average American carry around their anus? So like around the outside of your
A lot of pounds.
Of your, well, it's so So in weight, the weight of a black bean.
Oh, this is gonna be hard.
The weight of a third of a Tic Tac, the weight of half of a Snickers, or the weight of an eyelash.
That's it.
First of all, that's a fucking huge range.
Yeah.
Black bean to half Snickers.
Yeah, wait, you went with the wings. Did you make
insane.
Those up? Is that your brain that
made
those? Well, I know, but did you choose all those weird little that's such a Madeline weirdness. All right, I'll say it's so it was half of a Tic Tac, half of an eyelash, half of a black bean.
No, a full black bean.
Full black bean.
A third of a Tic Tac. a half of a Snickers or an eyelash.
I'll go. Well, actually,
I think
you can go first.
I think black bean.
The weight of a black bean.
I'll say the Snickers one.
You think
half a Snickers? I don't know.
You think you have half of a Snickers around the outside of your anus?
Oh, the outside of like yeah. Oh, just like a dirty butt.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I ate a Snickers, but that's a lot of. I think that's a lot.
Oh, yeah. No, okay. I didn't realize this was an external thing. I thought this was like the poop that was existed
like
in
right
your stomach.
Okay. No, this
oh,
is
in
like
my
right.
Anus?
Yeah.
On the outside.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I'll change my answer. I'll change my answer to a full Snickers bar.
The correct answer is the weight of a third of a Tic Tac. Huh.
What a strange, like, weight. You didn't make that part up. That's the one that's true, and you made up all the right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was like
so
I hated that question. In an article.
Yeah, like what a strange like point of reference. Like one third of a Tic Tac's
weight. I know, especially for
also,
weight.
Also, the only one. Why would you change it from three types of food to eyelash? To me, that's the real question.
I wanted to throw you guys off.
Yeah.
I wanted to really make you think, and it did.
One of them
it?
Does come from your body already.
I also couldn't think of anything else. Yeah.
My eyelashes are covered in poop.
Oh, maybe, you know, if I could revise it, I would have said a grain of sugar.
Okay.
Oh, that's good.
Well, that would have been better. Maybe I'll guess that.
Okay, true or false? It's normal and fine for a pool to have a chemical chlorine smell.
Fine. Yes, true.
No.
Okay, Paul, you're correct. Do you know why?
No. But those same people that sucked up my brother into their hot tub, they ran a pool company. And so they would always, their pool never smelled. And so they were always like, that's the right way. This is the way a pool should smell.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. My elevator at my apartment smells like pool water. That can't be good, right?
That's really bad. Yeah, that's
well,
bad.
Now a lot of pools are saline instead of
water. I love
yeah.
them.
Yeah, yeah that's
can't get
great.
Enough.
That's
can't get enough.
Because yeah. especially I swam my whole life, and so my entire like essence for years and years was like straw hair and green. Right. Skin.
You were like the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah. But you smell so bad at that. It never, ever goes away.
Yeah. Chemicals.
It's the reason it's not normal and good is because like the smell we associate with chlorine is actually the smell of, I think it's called chloramine or something. Yeah, chloramine, which is the chemical that's released when chlorine. It's pretty cute.
Yeah.
It's like a Pokemon evolution of chlorine. Like. Yeah.
I'd like to point out that in the entire time we've had this podcast, in the entire time that we've played quizzes, yeah. I have never answered one question correctly. So maybe fat isn't the salient characteristic about me, crackhead.
So when a toxin reacts with chlorine, it creates chloramine, which that's the smell we think of as a chlorine smell. So it actually just means a pool is really dirty if it smells a lot like chlorine.
Oh, okay.
Okay, the last question, true or false? It's basically okay to pee in the pool.
I'll say true.
That basically makes me think true.
Yeah, it's true. But I read an article that initially made me think it was not okay. This is an important question to me because I pee in every pool I've ever been in.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I've always thought I always thought that's what chlorine is for. Because also, like, I remember when I was really little, my dad, like, we were like in a pool and he was like, "Look around. You ever seen anybody get out of this pool?"
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What a fun dad.
Yeah, he's a really fun right. dad.
Your dad said right before swimming in the toilet.
I've been peeing in pools for my whole life. Yeah. But I found this article, this is pretty interesting, that says that actually, like, when you pee in a pool, a chemical reaction, like, between the chemicals in urine and chlorine creates something called cyanogen chloride, which is technically an agent of chemical warfare.
Whoa.
But there... you'd have to have so much pee in a pool for it to like damage anybody. Like in this one article I read, it said like you would need a pool that first of all is like two parts water to one part chlorine, which is already insane.
Crazy.
And 3 million people would need to pee in that pool to make it like have any significant reaction. So the moral of the story, in my opinion, is you could pee in any pool. It's okay.
Right.
I think that's fine.
Yeah.
I have no issue with that.
I have no
issue
with
it. People are like squeamish about that. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
Everyone's just fine.
Yeah.
You have bigger problems.
What is it that causes some pool water to turn blue when you pee in it?
That's, I think, a separate chemical.
Oh, okay. That's
because
like a
that
shame
was like when
chemical.
We were in like really nice pools when we were competing. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, don't pee in that pool. Yeah. It has that chemical in it.
That's so rude.
And they would like warn us before we went in to warm up.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was just like scare tactics or if it was actually true, but like the really nice like college natatoriums that we swam at, those places they'd always be like, don't pee in that pool.
Oh. Well, hey, if anybody out there has a story about peeing in a pool and having it turn blue, maybe tweet at us with the hashtag shame chemical.
Shame chemical.
And those will be funny chemical. Stories of your personal shame.
And if you want to just say anything to Paul, just get at him with hashtag full blown AIDS.
Yeah.
I mean, I would honestly love it.
Is it at Paul Welsh?
At Paul B. Welsh.
Oh, okay.
Paul B. Welsh. I could ask those people that suck my brother up into a hot tub.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they would know. That's their business.
And if you don't mind us posting a picture of the...
I'll see if my parents have it.
They're very bad at recording photographically. They have lots of video, but they don't have a lot.
It seems like a lot of the stories are of their neglect.
Oh, no, they're great.
Yeah, they're great.
They just don't care about... They're just like kind of like stiff upper lip, like keep at it kind of thing. Yeah.
Hey, you guys all turned out great.
We did.
Yeah. That's a good point to stop at, I feel like. Paul, you turned out great.
Thank you so much,
thanks, Paul.
Thanks.
This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
You can follow us on Twitter at Definitely Dying. And until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.